Lord, I thank you for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all of us. And Lord, this same grace is in our hearts this morning. We give you glory for it. We thank you for all that you have done. You didn't have to do it, but you did it. Didn't have to go to the cross. Didn't have to die for our sins. You didn't have to be made sin for us. You didn't have to take on darkness on our behalf, but you did. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will grant us the grace to extend the same grace one toward another. We thank you. And now, Lord, as we enter into thy word this morning, we declare that the entrance of your word gives light. Cause that light, Lord, to shine our hearts. Give us revelation and understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Amen and amen. Now, we're talking about this series on the prophets, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and walking in the prophetic. There's a lot of things we've covered already. Today, I want to talk more, a little more about the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Praise the Lord. And so yesterday we talked briefly about, you know, Paul talked about these gifts, several gifts he talked about. And as he called them out, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the popular chapter for when you're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the body ministry. You know, I like to look at it more as the body ministry chapter rather than the gifts of the Spirit chapter. You know, because he spent a lot of verses explaining how the body ministry works in that chapter. But today we're just talking more about the gift of prophecy. Among the other gifts that he mentioned, concerning spiritual gifts, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, and he said, now there are diversities of gifts. And he began to go into these gifts and he said, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now that's everybody. Prophet without. For to one is given. And I said, pointed out yesterday, and I know there were questions in some people's mind, but let me point it out again. You know, here Paul is talking about these gifts. He didn't say that these are all the gifts. There's one place where he says, now the fruit of the Spirit is, and he put it out there. In this place, he doesn't say now the gifts of the Spirit are such and such. He just says, just talking about these gifts. To one is given this and to another is given that and so forth. So let us not conclude from this chapter that these are the only gifts of the Spirit. These are the ones that he's talking about here. And of these ones that he's talking about here, he talks about, you know, prophecy. And that's the one that we are dealing with now. We've talked about prophets. And now I want to talk about the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy, you might call it a mini dimension of operating in that prophetic, you know. But God can put it on. And we're going to discover who can have the gift of prophecy and who can prophesy, you know. So the gift is more something, you know, that God just inspires, you know, because he talks about it here. The manifestation of the Spirit is given. It's given by God. You know, it's not something that we walk up on our own. Although Paul, you know, encourages us to desire, you know, the best gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Talked about that, you know, in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians verse 1, you know, wants us to prophesy. And later in that chapter, they say, you may all prophesy. You know, so they were actually all may prophesy. Now, do all have the gifts of prophecy? No. But yet, he said, you may all prophesy. So, my lesson in this series is all about all of us walking in the prophetic. Are all of us prophets? No. Do all have the gift of prophecy? No. But can all walk in the prophetic? Yes. A resounding yes. We can all walk in the prophetic. Because he said you can all prophesy. And prophesying is a part of walking in the prophetic. Okay, in the prophetic, it's a lot more than just prophesying. And when you prophesy, you know, it may be just for a few minutes or for a few seconds. But when you walk in the prophetic, it's a lifetime. So it's a way of life. That's what we're going to be talking about. It's like worship. Jesus was talking in John 4 and 24. He said that Father is seeking true worshipers in the spirit. It's a way of life. But sometimes we think of worship as when we're standing in the church and the soul during the service and the praise team are singing slow songs. And we call them worship songs. They're singing fast songs, call them praise songs. And so when they're singing slow song that can move us like that, they say, oh yeah, we're worshiping. Well, that's only a part of it. Worship is a way of life. So is walking in the prophetic. It's a way of life. Walking in the spirit is a way of life. You know, it's not something that we just do once and don't do it again. Now, you may prophesy once and never prophesy again. You know, so you may do that. But someone that has the gift of prophecy will most likely prophesy many times because it's a gift. And according to Romans 11:29, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know, so when we have that gift, you know, we can prophesy. Now, let's talk about the gift of prophecy. And let's, you know, we also talked about the Holy Spirit yesterday. Now, these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can't expect to manifest any of these gifts. The manifestation of the Spirit is given. Well, it's the Spirit that is manifesting these things in us. So that's why yesterday we talked about, you know, you got to have the Holy Spirit first, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is when, you know, we see these gifts coming out. You know, so the Holy Spirit, we said, is given to the church, whereas Christ is given to the world. So now that we know that, and now that we moved beyond that, here's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He quoted from the prophecy of Joel. The prophecy of Joel was in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And in that prophecy, Joel talked about something that the Lord was going to do in the last days. He was going to pour out his spirit, you know, upon all flesh, and the things that will happen when he does that. And so let's read Joel 2 and 28. This is what Joel said. He said, afterward, it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know, so right there we see it. You know, when there is an outpouring of the Spirit of God, sons and daughters, boys and girls, male and female, prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. I've often wondered about that. The old men like to sleep or be sleepy. Young men should not be sleepy. Should be agile. Should be vigilant. Should be awake. Get visions. You don't need to go and sleep to get a dream. God will give you a vision. If you sleep at night too, you know, those that sleep in the night, they also get a vision. But, I mean, a night vision or a dream. You know, but upon even my servants and my handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. God's leaving nobody out. I mean, this outpouring is going to be great. You know, there's something special that he has for the elect of God. Everybody, upon all flesh, he said, all flesh. That means, you know, whether Jew or Gentile, that's what all flesh means here. You know, it doesn't mean that every single person in the world is going to receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not given to the world, but all flesh, you know, all flesh is before him. It's one, whether the Jew, whether the Gentile, this is what it means. And Peter had to figure this out later on. Wow, you know, this is what, you know, God was saying. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. People never thought that the Gentiles could deserve these things, you know, but on the day of Pentecost, first it was the Jews, you know, and then later on, that was Acts chapter 2, later on in Acts chapter 10, the Lord made Peter realize that, look, it's not just the Jews. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. the Gentiles and the residue of all men, you know, cry out of the Lord and so forth. You know, known unto God are all his ways. And they begin to see it, man, my goodness. You know, and the house of Cornelius, Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles. Just the same way it came upon the Jews. That's all flesh. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when that day was fully come, the Bible said they were all in one accord, in one place. And as they gathered together, 120 of them, there was the Spirit of God that came, just like Jesus promised. And the Holy Spirit fire split. Cloven tongues of fire will fall upon each of them. And they began to prophesy as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak with tongues and declare the mighty works of God. You know, most of the time, you know, when people prophesy and speak in tongues in the assemblies, for mighty works of God. And then the people that came around said, well, you know, why are you guys all doing this? And so you must be drunken. And Peter said, no, we're not drunken. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. There's no way we could be drunken. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters. And he began to quote the same thing. You know, so let's pick it up in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 39. And there's something I want to bring out here. You know, after he said all those things, you know, then they said, okay, what shall we do? Then Peter said in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's how you should be baptized, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But listen to this, verse 39, it's where I'm going. For this promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, you know, until the Lord calls them, they can't get it. You know, but Psalm 65 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto you, unto me. And Jesus himself said, no man can come unto me except the Father draws him. Well, those that come, though, he said, I will in no wise cast them out. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, as many as the Lord our God shall call, when they come, you know, and they give their lives to Christ, then they can receive that of that Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. You know, so those are the things, you know, that we want to bring up, but it's unto you, you know. Now, having received the Holy Spirit, well, if the Holy Spirit is within us, you know, he will distribute to us the gifts of the Spirit as he wills. We're not entirely covering all the gifts of the Spirit in these lessons, but I want to focus on one, which is the gift of prophecy and also prophesying, you know. So now we've talked about, you know, speaking the word of the Lord, you know, God called out the prophets that, look, if you have my word, speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff among the wheat? You know, so we must speak the word of God the way he gives it. Now, the Spirit of God, when he comes to inspire us to give a word like that, it will be according to the word of God, and it will be to give glory to Christ. Jesus said it yesterday, when he comes, we read it, the Spirit of God, he will testify of me. And again, we read in Revelation 19 and 10, where the angel that was showing these things to John, who happened actually to be one of the old prophets, after John saw all those things, tried to fall down and worship him. And the man said, don't do it. See that thou do it not. You got to worship God. You know, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, so we know that the spirit of prophecy will testify of me, Jesus said, will glorify me. And so, you know, that must be in our mind if we want to prophesy. Desire spiritual gifts rather than you prophesy. Well, if you want to prophesy, you know, it must be in your mind that you must glorify God. In the book of 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 4, we read from verses, 5, to about 7, he said, look, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for his sake. You know, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But this treasure, this incredible treasure that nobody can understand how we can have the light of the glory of God, you know, in our lives, you know, well, it's in earthen vessels. You know, this human flesh carries this treasure so that the excellency of the power may be of God, you know. And then you find out that you're really nothing. It's the Spirit of God in you that's doing it, but not of us. So that's the first thing we must recognize. It is God that will give us utterance through the Spirit. The Spirit of God gives utterance in the prophetic realm, and we call it the gift of prophecy. Now, when it starts, most times people don't know, you know, unless they've been through training. They don't know what they're even doing, you know, but, you know, we don't need to be, you know, children in that anymore. He said, in understanding, you need to be children. In malice, you can be, In malice, yeah, you can be children, you know, in bad things, you know, but in the things of the Spirit, we need to grow up and learn. So we have opportunity to learn about prophecy, you know, and he that prophesied, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3, prophesied to edification, comfort, and exhortation. We talked about that, you know, that means that you have compassion in your heart. And so if you desire this gift of prophecy, well, you must also desire that the Lord give you compassion, you know, to bring comfort, to bring exhortation, to bring edification. Now, exhortation can also mean preaching. I mean, it's been said also that, you know, there's another, you know, definition for prophesying is declaring the word of God. Now, that can also mean, you know, you can declare the logos. You can also declare rhema. And there is a certain way that the gift of prophecy actually works, even in teaching. You know, many times the prophetic will take over. I mean, a real teacher of the word that's gifted like that, many times the prophetic will take over. And the God will give them insight into the deep things of the Spirit. That's prophecy. You know, anytime you go in that dimension, that's a prophetic. That's the Holy Spirit. The Lord can reveal the past, the present, the future, the mind of God, things that are couched in the scriptures. Gift of prophecy can bring it all out. You know, and it's not just because they learned about it, because the Holy Spirit at that time, Jesus said, look, even when they take you before magistrates and all, don't worry about what you're going to speak. He said, the Spirit of the Father that's in you will speak through you. You know, so we see that the Spirit of God will speak through us. And that's when that happens, we call it in the human realm, we call it prophecy. As far as God is concerned, it's not prophecy. You know, God is just talking. That's what he does. To us, we call it prophecy because we are in a limited realm, you know, and when we hear God, you know, the voice of God reporting through a human being something to us from the mind of God, we call it prophecy. But to God, it's just a normal thing. It's just talking, just revealing something. Praise God. Now, in the gift of the Spirit, here are some things that we need to consider. The gift of prophecy particularly. We must consider that the Lord has told us to seek it. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says we should covet honestly the best gifts. And in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, well, rather that you may prophesy. So, Paul here, by the Spirit of God, is putting the gift of prophecy or prophesying among the best gifts. Now, we need to understand, here are some, you know, characteristics. We need to understand the intended effect of prophecy, which is what I've talked about several times already. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:3, you know, bring comfort, bring exhortation, bring edify, you know, comfort the people. You know, God will speak in Isaiah 40, comfort ye, my people. Well, that's God through the Holy Spirit inspiring it, his voice through someone to comfort his people. It's called prophecy. He may reveal things in that comfort. He may show things to come. John 16:13, we talked about that. You know, he may give instruction The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. You know, that's revelation. You know, that's why I say, look, the Holy Spirit, when he guides you into all truth, when he teach the word of God, that's the truth. You got to bring the word. Holy Spirit can teach it. He'll guide you into it. First John chapter 2 and verse 27 says, the anointing which you have received is no lie, but the same anointing will teach you all things. You know, that's why the teacher, you know, that is devoted to bringing the word of God, the prophetic spirit will be upon them at times, you know, to bring that word, bring the mind of God. That's how it works. Now, we need to understand that prophecy must bring honor and glory to God. If you are seeking prophecy, that's it. Revelation 19 and 10, you know, testify about Christ, not about you, not to draw attention to yourself. Attention must be drawn to the Lord. I mean, would you know it that John, he thought the figure that was showing him all these things, he called him an angel, but it was just a man. But it was a man that had gone away from the human realm and come back. God can send those departed prophets back, you know, and he can send them on errands. Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't think that departed saints are just there doing nothing, just hanging around. You know, of course, they will be worshiping the Lord. We know that. But God can send them on errands. We see that too. And he sent this man on errand. We don't know which prophet he was. But he told him, look, I am just like you. You know, I'm one of the prophets of that brethren. You know, so possibly he was a Jewish prophet. And he said, well, I'm one of your brethren. You know, and you must worship, you know, worship the Lord. Let's see how he says it. Revelation 19 and 10. And I fell at the feet of the angel that worshipped, he gave me these things to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Well, you know, so he said, look, you must worship God instead. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's what it's all about. The driving force behind it is to testify of Christ. Not for ourselves. And not to bring attention to ourselves. So if you seek the gift of prophecy, you know, you must have the right motives. Now, we need this in the church. You know, but how do you know if you pray you're going to get it? Well, maybe you will. Maybe it's God's will. Maybe not. But we're directed to seek. God will distribute according as he wills. But whether or not you have the gift of prophecy, which means you can bring that prophecy many times, we can all prophesy. Those who can prophesy, yeah, maybe they, you know, they do it once in a while here and there. But if you can prophesy once in a while here and there, that's an indication that you may have the gift of prophecy. You have to wait on that gift. You know, Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 12. You know, basically, if you begin to get an inclination of how God is moving upon you, well, that may be an indication of the gifting that's in you. You know, and, you know, he said, look, you got to wait on that ministry. He said, having then gifts differing according to the grace of God. That's Romans 12, you know, and verse 6. You know, that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the profession of faith. So we see that even prophecy must be by faith. Why must it be by faith? Well, actually, all the gifts of God must be by faith. Because, you know, faith is what can move you to do those things. Because the mind will tell you, well, you know, maybe it's not from God. Faith will let you say it is from God. You believe the word of God. You declare. Same thing with every gift. You got to walk it by faith. You know, so prophesy according to portion of faith. That means some people, the level of prophecy they have might just be exhortation, edification, and comfort. You know, just say a few words, you know. And then other people, you know, the dimension of faith, God can take that spirit of prophecy into some other dimensions. And it can reveal things, can reveal the future, can reveal this and that, can even reveal the past. You know, the Holy Spirit can do all of that because he knows it all. Now, Holy Spirit is not in the past. It's not in the present. It's not in the future. It's always in the now. You know, so that's why sometimes, you know, there was something said the other day. I was going to talk about it a bit. You know, that's why sometimes, you know, God can say something, you know, God might reveal. And someone said yesterday, why is it that, you know, someone might prophesy something that's already passed? Well, because the Holy Spirit can reveal it to them. Now, they may be saying that just to show that they know something, but in reality, the Holy Spirit can actually reveal something that's already passed. Because the Holy Spirit is in the now, all the time. You know, it's in now, all the time. And it can show something. It could be something that's already happened. It could be something that's happening now. Something that's yet to happen. As far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, it's all in the now. And because our minds prophesy in part, you know, we can catch that from the Spirit. You know, you may deliver it in a way. You may think that it's future, but it may be something that's already passed. And the Holy Spirit, unless the Holy Spirit, that's why we have to pray for understanding. Anyone that has the gift of communication to others, we have a tremendous responsibility, you know, to seek God closer so that you don't, you know, walk in error and cause people to go astray. Because God was against the prophets that caused people to go astray. You know, we read that, we dealt with that in day one. So it's our responsibility, if you want to prophesy, you know, to seek God even closer. Make sure you don't go astray. And don't make sure you don't lead the people astray. Make sure it's not your mind leading you astray. You got to seek God closer. Now, having said that, knowing also that Jesus said, you know, that look, if you know how to give good things to your children, you being evil, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to them and ask him? So we don't want to, you know, when we're praying and believing God for prophecy, don't believe that, don't let the devil tell you it's your mind, it's the devil, and it's this and that. You know, if you ask God for the spirit of prophecy, he will not give you the spirit of the devil. Jesus said that himself. You know, so let's consider why that is important. It's important because some people that are new, that are just starting out, they wonder, you know, that, you know, maybe it is of the devil. You know, the devil is quick to tell you that things is of the devil. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Even if the Holy Spirit is going to reveal something to you that it is not from the Spirit of God, you know, it takes his time. We saw in Acts chapter 16, it took Paul time, you know, with that spirit of divination. But the devil will quickly call things out, you know, that it's of the devil, because he wants to use that to scare you away, you know. You know, so that is something that we need to be aware of, you know. Let's read something that Jesus said in Luke chapter 11. I want to read this particular version in Luke 11. It's also in Matthew. But let's read this one in Luke 11. See how Luke put it out. You know, he said, you know, you all are evil. You know how to give good gifts to your children. You know, how much more shall your holy, heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 11, verse 13. You know, that's how Luke put this one out. If you ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, yeah, sure. It's not going to give you the devil. You know, if you ask the Lord for the spirit of prophecy, you are sincere in your heart because you want to edify the brethren. You want to give glory to Christ. Well, and because the scripture says you should ask, and the Lord is not going to give you the spirit of the devil. You know, so let's settle that in our hearts. And then furthermore, we need training. You know, we need some training. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32, it says, the spirit of the prophets are subject unto the prophets. That's some training. You know, when people start prophesying initially, they don't recognize that that's the case. That, you know, you can actually, you know, use wisdom. You can use discretion. They don't understand that. They just think that, oh, Holy Spirit moves me, I just open my mouth, I just speak, whether the time is right or wrong. No. 1 Corinthians 14:32, really clearly. that spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, one or two prophets are in the church, they are subject to other prophets. And each individual prophet, the spirit is subject to the prophet itself too. You know, that means, look, self-control and discipline and so forth. The time may be right or the time may not be right. Just because God inspires you to with something, you know, you have to figure out whether it's the right time to deliver it. Remember, we've already covered the difference between inspiration and delivery. The inspiration of the prophecy is divine, comes from God. The delivery, that's human. How and when you deliver it, that's all human. And that's the training part. We need training. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to have the sons of the prophets. They gathered around. You know, they sharpened one another. Today we have school of prophecy and so on. You know, people need training. You know, training on, look, how do you do this? When the spirit comes upon you in the audience for the first time, and you jump up and down, you scream, you yell, you roar. You know, all of that muscles up the real word that you are trying to give. Nobody can even actually hear what you are saying out of all that screaming and all that. You know, but that doesn't mean it's of the devil. It just means they need a little training. Yeah, you know, when they get some training, they will relax. And they can deliver the thing, you know, in a more quiet fashion that people can actually hear what they are saying. If you're screaming and yelling and on the top of your voice and you're screeching and so on, people may not actually hear what you're saying. Just emotional and all. But that's all that it is, training. Doesn't mean it's anything wrong with it. Just means they need training. Again, it could be, you know, the fact that the flesh needs to be a little more broken. I like to give this analogy of electricity flowing through what we call conductors and resistor. You know, electricity, when it passes through a substance that is a conductor, it just flows through. Because it's a conductor, copper and all these other things. Conduct electricity just flows through. Wire and so on. But when electricity tries to pass through a resistor, now, we studied this in basic physics many, many years ago when I was a young man in high school. Electricity tries to pass through a resistor. It can't, because the substance cannot conduct those electrons like that. And then the thing will shake and vibrate. If you put your hand in a real source of electricity, your body is going to shake and vibrate, because your body is not a conductor or a conduit for electricity. However, if you join electricity to copper wire and all these other things, they just flow through. That's no problem. You know, so again, you know, if you look, liken that to this force of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual energy that's coming. Well, you know, when that flesh is broken, you know, it's like a pipe that's clogged versus a pipe that is clean. Well, when you release the water level to pass through, you know, you can, the water can be, the tap may be opened fully, but maybe only drips coming out because the pipe is clogged. Or a garden hose that's kinked up. You open the faucet or the tap, but the garden hose is kinked up. The water is not coming, even though the water is turned on. It's not coming out because of all the kinks in the hose. Well, when you straighten out those kinks, you don't have to change the water level. You just have to straighten out the kinks. Once you straighten out the kinks, all of a sudden, the water starts to flow freely through the hose. You know? And if you tighten the hose too much with too many kinks, you will see the thing actually vibrate if there's a lot of pressure. This is all the same thing. Out of the belly of him that believeth me shall flow the Holy Spirit, like rivers of living water. It's also flowing. But if you don't give that your belly and that your body as a conduit for the Holy Spirit to pass through, your body will shake, you know, and so forth, because it's a resistor, you know. And but when you break down that flesh, the Holy Spirit will flow. There's no need for shaking and rattling and all that. So that's part of the training, that we train people when they're first coming into the gifts, especially prophecy or tongues or these kind of things. Maybe shake and, you know, rattle and all that. You know, well, get that flesh out of the way. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Needs training. Doesn't mean they are of the devil. You know, when they're doing that, just means they need training. Praise the Lord. So we all need training. Now, let me tell you that the gift will be tried. Gift of prophecy is tried like no man's business. You know, your mind yourself will try. The devil will come against you. People that, you know, flow in the prophetic, they're not, you know, real prophets. I mean, yeah. I mean, a real prophet, more than just someone who's prophesying here or there, will have the gift of prophecy or, you know, walking in the prophetic. You know, when you walk in the prophetic, it's almost like a real prophet. But those are not generally accepted, not understood, and be tried, and questioned. You know, and people come against it. I'm going to read to you here a story in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 26. And Jeremiah was a prophet that was used to, I mean, people just come against him all the time. You remember, when he was a kid, God called him. He didn't want to do it. He said, look, I'm just a kid. The Lord said, no, you're going to do it. I've set you to be prophet over the nations, you know, to throw down, you know, cast down, pull down, destroy, and so forth, and to build and to plant. And the Lord told him that, Jeremiah 1 and 10. And he said, look, don't say you're a kid. You're going to do what I told you to do. So later on, as he began to develop his ministry, people hated him because his prophecies were not always soothing. And then he prophesied that, look, God was going to destroy this place, carry this place away into Babylon and so forth. Nobody wanted to hear that, especially the political prophets of his day. They didn't want any part of that. You know, they wanted smooth prophecy. Prophesy unto us lies, smooth as butter and so on. Well, you know, you might say, well, the Holy Spirit says you prophesy unto comfort, exhortation, and, you know, and all of that. Well, yeah. But Holy Spirit can also reveal these things that are coming. You can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. You know, in the time of Jeremiah, unfortunately, he was not prophesying the things that they thought were comfortable. But if they really listened to him, they would have realized that, you know, he was actually showing them a way out. He said, look, God has said he's going to destroy this place. The only way you are going to be saved is go with the man that's coming to destroy the place. You know, stay there. God will bring you back later. It's really what Jeremiah was prophesying. You know, it'll be many years, but that's how God's going to do it, because he's going to destroy this place because of the stiff-neckedness of our previous generations. And the only way that you are going to be saved is you give your neck under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. He'll carry you away, and you pray for that nation when you're there, you know, and in their peace, you'll have peace, and God will eventually bring you back. We were saying that. There was still some comfort in it. It's just that right now it was not comfortable that they will be carried away into captivity. But so they hated him for those kind of prophecies. They didn't like him. So let's read this story in Jeremiah 26 and verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, came this word from the Lord saying. Now, I want you to notice that many of these prophets in the Old Testament, they were not prophesying every single day of their lives. That's why they always gave a timing. In the year in which King Uzziah died, the word of the Lord came to me. In the year in such and such, this word of the Lord came to me. In the such and such time, in such and such month, the word of the Lord came to me. They recorded it because it wasn't like every single day, you know. But the Holy Spirit is present now to actually give us every single day. That's amazing. Those prophets sometimes was far apart. And so they number the days and they tell you when it happened. They tell you this year. They tell you who was king at that time and so on. Because it wasn't all the time. But in this particular time, the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah and said to him, thus said the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, you know, which come to worship in the Lord's house. Now, this Jeremiah, he is the one allowed to call things out. You know, he called things out all the time. He'll call them out. They say, look, amend your ways. Amend your ways. You know, he used to call them out. You know, amend your ways. You know, don't just say here we are, you know, we are the people of the Lord. We are the people of the Lord. He said, look, amend your ways. if you want to say that, you know, I'm the elect, I'm the this, and I'm the temple of the Lord, amend your ways. Trust not in lying words, he used to say. In fact, before I read Jeremiah 26, let me read to you something in Jeremiah 7. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Same thing, told him Jeremiah 26. And proclaim there this word and say, hear ye all the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at this gate to worship the Lord. So he's going to speak point blank to those that go into the house of the Lord. And he's going to tell them. He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Now, there is a rebuke and an instruction, but there's a promise right behind that. Just like Jesus to those churches in Revelation 2 and 3, it will be sometimes a rebuke and then sometimes a promise right behind it. You know, oftentimes, in fact, every single time, there was always a promise behind it. So he said, look, amend your ways. Well, don't just think that, you know, just because you come to the house of the Lord, you know, that you're good. No. You know, trust not in lying words. And that's it. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You know, the building where you go to, God has no respect to that building other than you should come in there to pray and don't make it a den of thieves. That's what Jesus said. And that shall be the house of the Lord. But, you know, to think that the building, some building is holier than your kitchen or your bathroom, you know, that's fallacy. We're not doing that anymore. That was Old Testament stuff. Today, where the Holy Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord is where it is. That's the presence of the Lord. You can be in your kitchen. You can be in your bathroom. You can be in your backyard. You are the temple of the Lord now. The Holy Spirit is in you. Carry that presence. You don't have to go to some building. Now, some people trusted in some building. Say, oh, this is the building where the Lord is at. Well, say, what? Well, this temple. Look. You know, so the real temple are these. He points to them. Look, you are the temple. Now, he said, look, if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and you thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and he's calling out all these things, wicked things that they are doing. Don't oppress the fatherless. Don't oppress the widow. Don't shed innocent blood. You know, and so forth. Don't walk after other gods, your own heart. Then there's a comforting promise behind it. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place. You know, and the land that I gave to your fathers, I'll curse it to you. But if you trust in lying words, they cannot profit you. I mean, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods, and then come and stand in the house of the Lord and say, we are the elect? Jeremiah used to call out these things. Your life doesn't please the Lord. You are doing all this crazy stuff, and yet you are saying you are the elect, you know, and so forth. Say, no, you know, walk in my ways, saith the Lord. Now, is this house that you say is a temple, is a temple? This house that called by my name, is it then become a den of robbers in your eyes? Jesus said the same thing. Took a whip them out of the place. You know? He said, I have even seen it, said the Lord. Now, this was the kind of man this Jeremiah was. He was always calling out this evil. In fact, one time, called himself the lamenting prophet. They called him the lamentation. He wrote all those things. He was always cursing them out. I mean, calling out this, you know, calling out all these judgment against them and so forth. And he said, I will cast you out of my sight. Cast you out, you know, and so on. Now, let's go to, well, the Holy Spirit said, read the next verse. So let me go read it. I don't know why I said it. And now I see why I said it. Therefore, pray not thou for these people, neither lift up nor cry. Now, this is the reason why some people say, don't pray. You know, say, because I will not hear thee. Seest thou what they do and so forth. Well, that was then, though. This is now. I don't know what the Holy Spirit said. I wasn't going to read it, but it said, read that next verse. So I'm reading it. Okay, therefore, pray not thou for these people. Somebody came here and told us the other day that some person prophesied and said that they shouldn't pray for them. Well, that was in the Old Testament. Old Testament, don't pray for them. Now, we must pray for them. Because Jesus gave his blood. Jesus shed his blood. Hallelujah. You know, we must always this time pray. You know, so let's settle that. Don't be reading this and say the Lord said, don't pray for them. You know, it's just like, you know, you can read some things in the Old Testament. Like, you know, the psalmist said, let God rain down fire upon my enemy. Let the angel of the Lord persecute him. And so, and there are some churches that are still doing that today. They call down fire on their enemy and so forth because they read in the Old Testament. And instead of everything you read that you are going to do, you know, Cain killed his brother. Are you going to go do it because you read in the Old Testament? You know, so look, Jesus raised a new standard. I said, you've heard of them in the old days. I said, do it this way. Call down fire on your enemies and so on. So, but I tell you, you know, love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute you. So we have to always pray. Even for those who are persecuting the church, Jesus said, pray for them. And we see that Jesus did it. Stephen also did it. When they were stoning him to death, he prayed. The Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they do. This is what we do now. So let's not say don't pray for them. In any case, I did all of that to show you that this Jeremiah, this was his style of prophecy. You know, was always calling out and all these things, calling them out and calling out the evil. You see, standing in the ways, he even told them in Jeremiah chapter 7. He told them in that chapter. He said, look, go back to the good old ways. You've departed from the good old ways, you know. Go back there and talk to them. Always tell them, you know, I gave you this place. You're going to stand in the good old ways. You know, go back to the good old paths. He told them. So he was that kind of prophet, you know, that was always doing that. And people knew him, you know, to be doing that, you know. And so they never liked him. It's what I'm trying to bring out, you know. Seek ye the good old paths, he would always tell them. If you decided the Lord, you know, seek ye the good old paths, the good old ways, you know, stand in the ways, you know, the good old paths, the good old ways, he would always tell them, you know, why are you not going back to the Lord? You know, stand in the ways, he would say, and walk therein, told them. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16, he said, seek ye the old paths, walk therein. And so on. He would all, you know, stand in the ways. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And you find rest to your souls. This was his life of calling things out. So when we get to Jeremiah 26, he began to prophesy some more evil against that land. And people didn't like him one bit. So let's go back and read it. Jeremiah chapter 26. Now, this is to tell you that sometimes the Lord may put this burden on you. I knew a man of God one time that said that he thought the gift he had was a curse from the Lord. You know, I was like, why in the world would you say that? You know, because of all the things, you know, that, you know, the Lord would show him and so on. You know, it's kind of like a sister was saying the other day, Lord, now this is too much for me to bear. You know, just take it away. You know, well, that's not the right approach. The right approach is to, you know, pray for the grace of God. You know, to be able to handle it. Because the Lord knew the reason why he gave you that. Anyway, Jeremiah chapter 26, he began to say, the Lord says, stand in the court of the Lord's house, speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the house of the Lord. All the words that I command thee, speak. Diminish not a word. Now, as we grow in this prophetic, we have to remember, you cannot diminish the word. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the shaft to the wheat? Don't add, don't take away from his words. You know? Even the book of Proverbs, they say, look, don't take away from his words, lest he rebuke thee. You know, don't add. Even John in the book of prophet, in the book of Revelation, which is the entire book of prophecy, say, look, if any man take away from the writings of this book, God will take away his part from the holy city. If any man adds to it, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. You know, so here, Jeremiah, the Lord is telling Jeremiah, you do my word. You speak it like I said. Don't take away anything. Say it. Don't polish it for me so it sounds nice to them. Don't diminish a word. Now, if it so be that they hearken and turn every man from his wicked ways, because this is the reason that the Lord brings all those harshness out. And, you know, if they turn their ways, well, I will repent me of the evil also, and I will do good things to them. You know, but if they do not hearken, and they do not walk in my laws, and so forth, well, and they do not hearken to all the words of the servants that are rising up early and sending to them, well, then I'm going to make this place like Shiloh. I'm going to destroy the place. You know, so Jeremiah was always saying these things, you know, and all the priests and the prophets and all the people heard words of Jeremiah that he spoke in the house of the Lord. And it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all these things that the Lord commanded him to speak, that the priests and the prophets, they took him aside and they said to him, now, these were prophets that persecuted him. This is where other priests, you know, they said, thou shalt surely die. Why is it that you prophesied all this evil to us? That this house shall be like Shiloh. The city shall be desolate without inhabitant. You know, and all the people gathered against Jeremiah and the house of the Lord. Well, I say this story to tell you that, look, if the Lord, you know, put a word of prophecy in your mouth that is not sweet, you know, people might come against you for it. But, you know, that's part of the burden of the cross, of the gift of prophecy. You know, when it goes into a deeper dimension of the prophet, that's even more so. Most of the time, the people that just have the gift of prophecy here and there, they don't have that burden like that. Theirs is just to comfort and edify the people. But when it gets, that anointing gets stronger, I mean, you talk about real consecration is like, you know, somebody wearing a camel skin inside out. That's what, you know, Elijah did. That's what John the Baptist did. They're rough, you know. They wear, they sleep on the sand, they eat dung, they do all this crazy stuff. That the Lord put upon, they put a yoke around their neck. Jeremiah wore a yoke around his neck all the time. You know, that's the life of a prophet. They have to bear all these things. But that's a prophet. The gift of prophecy doesn't go quite into that dimension. Now, every prophet has a gift of prophecy, but not every person that has a gift of prophecy is a prophet. So let's settle that. You may have the gift of prophecy, but you're not necessarily be a prophet. It's just a gift. A prophetic office is different. It's, you know, the prophet, the real prophet will have a lot of gifts. They will have the gift of prophecy. They will have discerning of spirits. You know, they will have the word of knowledge. They will have word of wisdom. But they are prophet. You know, but one person may only have one or more of these gifts and not have all of them. But they're not a prophet like that. You know, but the gift of prophecy is the one I'm talking about today. We can all desire that. But it'll come with challenges, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, people may not like what you say, especially when this gift starts to get deep. You may not like it, but you've got to have compassion. Even when the Lord is bringing judgment, you got to have compassion in your heart. What you need to do, you know, a real prophet will also, you know, sometimes they will be an intercessor. The Lord will call them like that. Because when the Lord shows them those evil things, they must stand in the gap. You know, you can't just go out there and say, yet 40 days shall this city be thrown out. Well, that's someone that doesn't have compassion. That's Jonah. A real prophet of the New Testament these days, they will have compassion just like Jesus. Father, forgive them. You know, even the Lord knows they're going to be destroyed, yet he's still praying that they be forgiven. You know, so that's a real prophetic gift today. We know the evil is coming, yet you stand in the gap. Because God said, you have not made up the hedge. You have not stood in the gap. You know. So we stand in the gap. We pray. Even though we know the evil is coming. And we must do that. But the gift can be challenged. That's what I'm trying to say. But you need training. Training to know how to restrain yourself. It's not everything God shows you that you have to say. You know. And people think that, you know, prophecy cannot be stopped. As soon as the Holy Spirit moves me, I must speak. Well, no. Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You may not speak if you don't want to speak, you know, or if the Holy Spirit can tell you it's not time. You know, you can control that. You know, remember, the delivery is human. You know, you got to find the right time. You got to use the right words, like Nathan found the right way to approach David and tell him the evil thing that he did. You got to use wisdom. You know, you don't have to, you know, say it in such a way that nobody wants to listen. The Spirit will show you how to say it. You know, but either way, we must give all his words. We cannot hold his words back. That's what God told Jeremiah. Don't hold back any of my words. Give all my words that I told you. You know, so now at our level, if you are just starting out, you cannot start out and be a major prophet. That's not going to happen. But you start out with, it's just like gifts of the Spirit. God starts out also with speaking in tongues. You know, that's the one that most people start out. But it's not, I mean, it's a powerful gift, but it's not, I mean, if you want to look at it in human terms and stack them up, it's not the one that is, you know, at the highest level, you know, but, you know, that's how we start out. Most people start out with just speaking in tongues. Some people start out with speaking in tongues and prophesying. And then we move up and God brings more and more and more. Now, it's not to say that one gift is better than the other. And just to say that, look, you know, you practice, you develop, you get more. To whom that is given, he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. If God starts you out with a little thing, you know, especially he wants to tame that tongue. You know, we talked about the electric tongue the other time, you know, the unruly evil. Well, one of the ways the Holy Spirit wants to tame that tongue is the gift of speaking in tongues. I mean, you know, speaking tongues and so forth, diverse kinds of tongues too. And speaking in other tongues, yes. Tame that tongue, pray in the spirit, you know. But the same thing with the gift of prophecy, when you start out, it's not going to be, God is not going to give you the major things if you don't even know how to handle the little things. Start out little. Show yourself faithful in the little. Then he'll give you more. And then he'll give you more. And then he'll give you more. You know, prophesy to yourself in the house. Prophesy to yourself first in the house. That's how you do it. That's right. You know, you can prophesy. We'll talk more about that when we get into the walking in the prophetic. Start with yourself, you know, and prophesy to yourself. I prophesy to myself all the time, you know, and prophesy the word of God. You know, sometimes when you, you know, pray, you know, with the word of God and prophet, I call it prophetic prayers. You prophesy to yourself in the prayer. And if you find that God is always moving you to do that, you find yourself praying prophetic prayers, and you find yourself being able to release prophetic prayers over the people. It's an indication that you may have the prophetic calling on your life. But you have to be trained, you know. First of all, trained for humility, to let you know that you're not better than anybody else. That's number one. You know, let no man think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, and if any man think himself to be prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto them are the words of the Lord. You know, so that's the first thing. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And know that it is God that's speaking to you. You are not better than somebody else just because you have the gift of prophecy or God shows you things. So we settle that one in our heart. We settle also that it's not about us. We're not preaching ourselves. We're preaching Christ. Spirit of prophecy, you know, it must bring glory to Christ. It's not about us. It must testify of me. It's what Jesus said. So we settle all those things. We settle the fact also that, look, you know, we have to say what he shows us. And it's by faith. You have to, by faith, believe, you know. And God will prompt you for even more and more and more, you know. But you give yourself to prayer. That's the thing. Those who are called in the prophetic, they must give themselves to prayer. You know, a time in prayer is when the Holy Spirit speaks. And if you are a prayerful person, that doesn't mean stay in your closet all the time. How in the world can you stay in your closet all the time? You know, but you are in the spirit of prayer all the time. Instant in prayer, in season, out of season, every time. You're in the spirit of prayer. You're connected to the source. Holy Spirit can begin to speak. You're asking him, you know, what next? And it was really, it was step by step, it will guide you. When you stop asking him is when the Holy Spirit stops telling you, you know, so that's it. The Holy Spirit is ready to tell you. You must ask him, but you got to ask him faith. Don't ask him thinking that, oh, maybe it's the devil that's talking to me. Well, that's like asking your father for bread and thinking that he's going to give you a stone. He's not going to do it. When you ask him, he will give you bread because you ask for bread. Ask him for the Holy Spirit. Ask him the Holy Spirit to speak to you. It will be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It won't be the devil. You know, so get that out of your mind. The devil will tell you it's the devil because he doesn't want you to hear the Holy Spirit. But no, if you're a child of God and you're asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you, it will be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Because your father will not give you a stone when you ask for bread. Now, these are some of the things. I'm going to cut the lesson short today. I don't want to be too long. You know, but here are some examples of some people in the Bible. Men and women prophesied. Anybody can prophesy. The book of Acts chapter 21 verse 9. We're told that this Philip evangelist that went to Samaria and did all this wonderful stuff. He had four daughters. We're told that all of them prophesied. Now, we are not told what they prophesied. None of their prophecies are actually given to us. But they did prophesy. Could be anytime they're having fellowship in their house, the Spirit of God come upon them and prophesy. You know, it's not every prophecy that is so dramatic that it has to be written down. It could just be exhortation. You know, it could be, you know, somebody's going through stuff. The word of the Lord will come and exhort them. you know, and encourage him. You know, the gift of prophecy is a builder upper. You know, that's what he does. Edify means build up, you know, and so on. You know, and so these four daughters of Philip, we don't know how they did it, but they did it. And they were girls, you know, so it's not a girl boy thing. You know, they were girls just like girls of today, and they prophesied. And the Lord already said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Point blank, he said that. You know, so pray for your sons and pray for your daughters. Introduce them into the things of God, because the Spirit of God is for them. He said, these things are for you and for your children. It's not just for you. You know, and when you're raising, if you're raising your own children, you're going to prayer meeting, don't put your children in babysitter and then go to prayer meeting. Drag them along. Because this is for them too. Some people make that error. When they want to go to prayer meeting, they look for babysitter. Babysitter their children at home so they can go to prayer meeting. What is that all about? Drag your children with you, you know, to the prayer meeting. Because this promise is unto them as well. You know, that's why the children grow up and they think that the older generation is serving a different God and they are serving a different God. Because we kept them at home when we were doing the things of God. You know, so they grow up and they say, well, you know, I mean, they don't understand that we are serving the same God. What's that all about? The generation gap must be bridged. This promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. You know, as many as the Lord your God shall call. It's for all of them. It's not for the world, but all those that the Lord calls. It's for them. And then for your children. So bring your children in. Pray with them, you know, and let them understand the things of the Spirit of God. If you're learning things, or share with your children as well. They can learn it too. You know, it's up to God to determine whether they are too young or not. It's not up to you. Praise the Lord. There were people we saw in the Spirit of, in the Bible that were filled from the womb with the Spirit. John the Baptist. Filled from the womb with the Spirit of God. You know, so, I mean, it's up to God what he wants to do. You know, but we should teach it to our children. We should encourage them. Say, when you sit in the way, tell it to your children. When you sit at lunch, tell it to your children. When you sit at dinner, tell it to your children. Write it upon your doorpost. Write it everywhere. Speak of these things to your children. Well, tell them. You know, the Lord said, did you know? The Lord said, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, you are my son. You are my daughter. You should be prophesying. Praise the Lord. You know, and you pray for them. You lay hands on them and let them prophesy. Let them speak. And then you too, you know, you too, you are sons and daughters of somebody, you know, so you also can prophesy. Every one of us can prophesy. And the gift of prophecy is for the church. Just like Holy Spirit is for the church. You know, tongues, he said, as a sign for unbelievers, but prophecy is for the church. You know, so, you know, we prophesy, encourage one another, and so on. Now, later on, not today, I'll talk about the various dimensions of the gift of prophecy. I've mentioned those briefly today, but there's more. The gift of prophecy can go into even understanding, you know, things in the Word of God. It's couched. You know, the teacher, somebody that has the gift of teaching, most of the time they will have that prophetic gift as well to reveal that. It's all couched together. You know, because it's only the mind of the Spirit. It's the only one, the teacher, can bring those things. And anything the Holy Spirit is doing can be considered prophetic. But that's how he is. We call it that because we're not in his realm all the time. So for us, it's prophetic. For him, it's natural. Things we call supernatural, that's just the natural order of things we got. It's nothing supernatural with God. That's who he is. It's supernatural to us. You know, so it's prophetic to us. That's just the way of the Spirit. You can call it the way of the Spirit. It's not prophetic to the Holy Spirit. It's only prophetic to us. It's the way of the Spirit. That's how he is. That's what he does. That's how he rolls. And then we must roll with him as well. Walking with God, Amos 3:3. We must be agreed with him in order to walk with him. Well, that's going to be the end of our lesson today. I'm going to leave it there. I want to pray over the room. This is introducing us into, you can't say everything that there is to say about these subjects. You can only, you know, say so much. You can only introduce these subjects. You introduce these subjects, to the intent that people will, you know, something will spark in the people so that we can seek the Lord more. That's all we can do. We can't teach you everything in one sitting. But, you know, we put enough out there to generate interest, spark something. Now, here's how you know that the Lord may be calling you to receive that prophetic gift. When these things excite you, you know, when lessons like this excite you, you know, that's an indication that the Lord may be calling you. When you find yourself wanting to give yourself more to prayer so that the Lord can reveal these things to you, that's an indication. You know, when you find that you have compassion, you know, you want to pray over people, you want to release the prophetic word to them, well, that's an indication that the Lord may be calling you to this. Now, if these things don't move you and don't excite you and don't do anything, well, you know, maybe that's not your, you know, it's not something the Lord has for you. But anyone the Lord has this kind of gifting for, it will excite them. It's the same thing with any other gift. If we begin to teach on the gifts of healing, some people may not even excite them. You find out the ones that God is calling into that, it will excite them. They want more. They want to hear it. So that's how you know some of these things. And there are many more, indications of how the Lord will, you know, let you know that the prophecy, the gift of prophecy is for you. But some of these things that I mentioned, that's how you know it. And practice. Praise the Lord. People say practice makes better. Holy Spirit doesn't need to practice what he's going to tell you, but you need to practice how you're going to deliver what he told you. So because the inspiration is divine, but the delivery is human, you got to practice that. So that's what we practice. We practice the delivery. We don't have to shake. We don't have to, you know, reel back and forth. And, you know, we practice that. Practice the presence of the Lord. Get better at it. And so on and so forth. Practice even your hearing, you know. If you hear and you don't hear sharply, tell the Lord, well, I don't understand what I'm hearing. You know, help me to hear sharply. Help me to understand. Help me to see clearly. And he will do it. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray over the room today and our lesson today. Thank you, Lord, for the introduction into the spiritual gift of prophecy. And I pray, Lord, says concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. And this spiritual gift of the gift of prophecy, Lord, help us to understand it more and more as the days go by, because we're going to need it to walk in the prophetic. I pray, Lord, that these words that we have spoken today, the Holy Spirit will divide those words into our hearts severally as he wills and make each one of us to take of that bread, the bread of life, eat of it and understand what he's saying. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. I give you, Lord, the praise. I give you, Lord, the glory. And I thank you, Lord, for as many as the Lord has called and shall call. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for us all. And he will divide to us severally as he wills of the gifts of the Spirit. We pray that every one of us, you know, will be sensitive to our calling and figure out what the Holy Spirit will want us to do and not bury our talents. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Now, I want to declare prophetically over this room that the Lord has his people. He said, look, my sons and daughters will prophesy. That's what the Lord said. I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. So we are all his children. Now, so all the sons and daughters of God that are in this room, I declare the word of the Lord that the Spirit of God come upon you. Hallelujah. You received the Holy Spirit before. Let it come upon you again and again and again. Praise God. In a deeper dimension. Even Lord, as they received the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, they came back again in Acts 4, received some more. I pray, Lord, that we will receive more and more of your Spirit from day to day. Come, say the Lord. Bring vessels, not a few. You can bring your bucket. Take your fill. You can bring a barrel. Take your fill. You can bring a tanker even and take your fill. And the source remains the same. I pray, Lord, over this room, the release of the prophetic gift. Hallelujah. The Lord gave us a word many, many centuries ago. Said in the last generation, God will raise up a prophet, and the most prophetical generation is coming. We're here right now. Let the Spirit of God move and hover over the people. And as many as you are inspiring these things in their hearts, lead us into that place, that secret place where we can be like you, where we can be more like you, where we can hear from you, where we can walk with you and talk with you. In Jesus' name, give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.